Previously on Lost.
All right, the reason for the PK fire sale that I asked Reed what we should say, and he said we have a lot of good items in stock, but we'd like to get some things out, like we got the Metal Gear Special Forces shirt coming, we have the Pipefall shirt.
You're not gonna get all weird, are you?
Why would I get weird?
Just don't get weird.
And I think I was maybe, oh, I don't know, maybe 12, 13, I mean, I might have been 13 or 14 at the time.
But
man, that'll give you a screwed up self-image, that's for
it
sure.
Did.
It's the best I could do. And it's going to hurt a bit.
But now definitely, like now when we get together, we'll play like Wii Sports Resort or Wii Bowling and stuff like that.
I chose you because you were like me. You were all alone.
And he has my Earthbound card, but I'm not allowed to talk to him. This is before the internet was prevalent. Like, the only way I could talk to him is if I called him on the phone, and he wasn't allowed to talk to me because our families were in this, like, family feud.
I won!
Where? I don't see it.
Here. Diagonally.
Pretty sneaky, bro.
Hello and welcome to the Fangamer Podcast, episode 23. And we're going to talk about why we like Earthbound.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Popular demand for this topic from one guy on Twitter, so we decided
we'd
do it.
Two people said they wanted to hear about Mother series.
As usual, my co-host with me here, Liz, you heard, and then coming back to join us for the third time. Casey Toner, basically a podcast veteran at this point.
He's like Tom Hanks on SNL. We're going to have to have a five-timers club.
Oh, yeah. Give me the jacket. I'm ready.
So today's show, why we like Earthbound. We have a lot of Fangamer news. A lot of shirts are coming out. They're in the pipe. There's some plushies on the way. Talk a little bit about Office Cam. We'll talk about what we've been playing, which is actually more than just Majora's Mask for me and Liz for once. And then Casey and his brand new HD TV and some fun stuff. But let's just dive right into it. Casey, tell us about your experience with your high-def television. Is it everything you hoped it would be?
Yeah. I originally decided to get the high-definition television because the World Cup is rolling around.
Oh.
It's in less than a month, and I've never really, like, gave a crap about soccer in my entire life.
I was going to say,
But I decided this time I'm going all out. Like, I purchased the HDTV. I have my surround sound hooked up, and I'm going to be, like, nailing an American flag to my wall right on the HDTV when they play. Because I hope we beat the crap out of those limey bastards in the first round.
What? Yeah, I'm just, this is like a Clark W. Griswold, like, event for you. Like, you went all out.
Oh, yeah. Because we're playing England in the first round, and it's like, you know, I still carry some grudges from the Revolutionary War.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm also Irish. My people are from Northern Ireland, so.
You know, I'm part English, so you might want to watch where you step, buddy.
You might want to watch your car.
I just got a new battery put in that car. Please don't screw with it.
All right, just be very careful when you turn the ignition.
So did you get a full 1080p, or did you just get...
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's 1080p. The colors are bright and in my face.
Oh, man.
And it's clear, and it's 28 inches of heaven.
Wow, nice. You really do need to get, like Liz was saying before we started, a Blu-ray, like a PlayStation 3, even though it's expensive, because...
They're not that expensive anymore compared to what they used to be.
It is pretty amazing. Like, we watch the Pixar stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Man, does it look good.
Up looks real good.
Yeah, Up, Ratatouille, Wally's, all that stuff.
I have the Wally Blu-ray. That looks really good.
Really
Wally.
Yeah, so you should definitely... You know, plunk down the. How much are PS3s these days?
I don't know. I was gonna ask. Like 300.
That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money.
But they came. They launched at 600. Let's.
Yeah, I think I bought mine for like 450 or something like that.
I'm talking like that Walmart, like, you know, knockoff AVIX Blu-ray DVD player. It'll be like a Blu-ray. Yeah.
So what have you been playing on this Blu-ray, or not Blu-ray? This 1080p. TV.
1080p. I've been playing my Xbox Live Arcade, which are like little games you can download through the internet. And I've been playing specifically Geometry Wars 2.
Had you played the first one?
I have.
I love that game.
Oh, it's so fun. I mean, when you get up there in points, and more things come, you know, start coming at you.
It's real tense.
Oh yeah, it's like you're God on a tightrope, pretty much. That's the only way I could put it. But I've been playing this one, the second one, because it's really pretty, and it's almost to the point where, like, if I get up close enough while I'm playing it, I just die instantly because I just start looking at, you know, all the pretty colors.
You're just drooling over the beautiful graphics.
Oh yeah, I'm like, ooh. And
it's okay. Doesn't it have two player or multiplayer in the second one?
Yeah, I think so. I haven't tried that out though.
You have any friends who'll come over and play on your new?
I just don't have any friends.
Mm. Oh. I know what that's like, man.
Yeah, that's why I'm on this podcast. Burned.
Oh, I don't know if that's a burn against you or us or both.
I don't know, but I'm crying.
It's a group burn.
So speaking of fun games that, I mean, it looks good in HD, and on the same topic of Google's Pac-Man logo that everyone just won't shut up about, beautiful. Which is still cool, but, you know, everyone won't shut up about it. The Pac-Man Championship Edition on Xbox Live is quite phenomenal. It's good time. It looks really good, and the game design for it is just impeccable. They take the idea of Pac-Man and they remake it in a way that it's not dumb and cheesy. It's a nice evolution of what that original game was. The map that you play on actually changes as you play, and you should check it out. It's a really good download if you haven't, and it'll look really pretty on your TV probably.
It was made by the original creator of Pac-Man too.
I'm not surprised. It has that feeling that we didn't just, you know, slap our C team on this. We actually, you know, put some time into it. So it's a nice bite-sized segment of gaming. It's 5 minutes and that's it. If you can't make it to the end of 5 minutes, you know, there's something wrong with you. But that and Shadow Complex is have you heard of that one, Casey? Shadow Complex?
Yeah, that's like the kind of like the Contra run and gun one, right?
It's a more like Super Metroid, if anything.
Super Metroid, yeah.
And that looks incredibly amazing. It's real cheap. I think it's like $8 or $9. Oh, I don't know. In Xbox points. I don't know what that
is. It's like a million yen.
Yeah, I don't know what that is, but you should definitely pick that one up. Those are some great, like, it'll look good. They're kind of bite-sized gaming. That's why I like the Xbox Live Arcade games. They're just so
bite-sized and beautiful.
Yeah, I just want to sit down, play for a little bit, then move on.
It's like eating a Chips Ahoy cookie.
I think Truffles is a better example because Chips Ahoy are not very good, but it's all right. Whatever, Casey.
Well, I don't know, Chips Ahoy's Red Ring after 2 years.
I think they red ring after about two weeks, dude. You ever get stale Chips Ahoy?
They red ring your colon.
Yeah.
Oh. All right. Let's move away from Casey. And his
yeah,
colon.
Let's. I'm about to say, but that's way much time there. Okay, Liz, what
I'm
do you?
Feeling, I'm feeling wily today.
What have you been playing, Liz?
You know what? I'm gonna sacrifice my turn to talk about what I've been playing, and I'm gonna talk about what I am looking forward to be playing tomorrow, which is Mario Galaxy 2.
That is,
I believe, coming out tomorrow, and I have been watching videos of it. Like, I've been watching fan-made music videos that Matt's been showing me. Like, somebody sent one to, like, Queen's Don't Stop Me Now, and it was, like, the coolest thing in the world. Just, like, seeing Mario skipping across lava where they're calling him the Fahrenheit Man. And there's something about those games where the levels were so unique. So cool. And I read a review of the game on Kotaku yesterday where their only complaint about the game was that the music was like too epic in places, which is, like Brian pointed out in the Fangamer chat room, is not a complaint. That's just like you want your music to be all chiptunes, which I feel like it doesn't always have to be.
Yeah.
But I am looking forward to Yoshi not being garbage like in Mario Sunshine.
Yeah. It's funny that you should say, you know, we think it's coming out tomorrow. When Jen heard that it existed, that there was a second one coming out at some point, this was maybe a couple months ago, I think she went to their local Fred Meyer's, which is like a grocery store, but also has electronics and other stuff, and went there immediately looking for it. I'm like, do you even know if it's out? Oh, I just assumed it was. And she goes, and she was so sad when it wasn't at the store for her to buy.
That's so sad.
But she'll probably camp out tomorrow morning. She loves.
Let me make sure before I'm selling anybody up the river. May 23rd, 2010. You heard it. Wow, it's releasing 4 days earlier in America than Japan.
Wow, that's
America not bad. Gets it first.
I heard. What? Well, because we're the best.
Yeah, that's what Wikipedia is telling me anyway. Wikipedia. So they could be a liar. I've seen some crazy stuff on Wikipedia.
Wikipedia would never lie to you.
No, no me. Way. I was watching the Mega 64 how to play Mario Galaxy 2 tutorial, and it is pretty hilarious. You should definitely check it out.
It's like a send up of apparently Japan's including a disc in their version of the game where it's like how to play Mario Galaxy 2, only it's unironically telling you how to play a Mario game, and the Mega 64 video points out like Mario is like almost 25-year-old franchise. How do you not know how to play a game?
If you can't figure out Mario, then what's wrong with you, basically?
Yeah. But how did you turn the Wii on to play the disc?
Yeah, but it was pretty hilarious. And watching it, it just looks amazing. And
it's so pretty for a Wii game, especially.
Right, and it makes me want to get the there's the upgraded cables you can get where it upgrades it to like 480 or 720, like some.
Oh, yeah, we got those cables. It makes a little bit of a difference, but like some games,
well,
it's like it almost hurts. But it's a pretty it's not bad.
It's very minor, but even that, I'm like, I just want to wrench out every high def pixel out of it that I can because it looks beautiful. So, absolutely. Are you gonna go pick it up tomorrow then?
Yeah, definitely.
Like, now, do you have it reserved?
No, I'm not an idiot. Yeah. Not only did I reserve it, but every time I buy something, I get the extended warranty.
Are you serious? Do you really? Okay,
never. But I'll probably go to Best Buy and pick it up tomorrow.
Yeah, like, I just
the hope like is going to GameStop and then like the awkward chatting. It's like the Best Buy. I hate GameStop. They don't care if I'm alive or dead, and I really appreciate them for that.
Do you? They try to sell you like magazines. They'll try to sell you like 12 magazines.
Oh, yeah, it's like, are you a crackhead coming to my door? I don't need any of this crap. Leave me alone.
Do you ever get this that Jen, anytime she goes to GameStop, and it's usually because she works really close to one, and so I usually have her go by on her way home, pick up a game. Mm-hmm. And she always has the most awkward conversations with the guys who work there because she's a girl.
Yeah, a little bit. And, that happens.
And
just they're like boy nerd radar just kind of goes
yes,
off.
Yes, they're like, oh my gosh, this is my only chance.
Girl, yeah.
Oh, man. So, and then the thing is that she's buying games for me. So it looks like, oh, wow, so you're really into the Grand Theft Auto 4. That's hot, you know?
Yeah, I had that happen when I went to buy Shadows of the Colossus. The dude, like, little did I know, was telling me it was such a good game. And I was like, yeah, I bet it's going to be a great time. I'm really excited to play it. And he's like, oh, can I tell you about the new one they're coming out? And I was like, yeah, I guess. Like, tell me more about what Team Eco is doing. And, like, had I known 3 weeks later, I would hate the game. I would have been like, dude, just... leave me alone.
He wanted to take you over to the Applebee's after and talk to you about how great of a game it'll be.
Ugh. Play it with you on your couch.
I like the garlic bread at Applebee's, I'm not going to lie. If he was going to pay for me to get some cheap garlic bread and a daiquiri covered in whipped cream,
totally worth it. No.
Hey, Liz, you're rambling. And Butsukoi says, we like to ramble a lot.
It's
thanks
true.
For the, right. Thanks for the comment, buddy.
I'll move
Butsukoi.
On.
Butsukoi.
Garrett, will you talk about it for Butsukoi.
For him, what am I playing? I bought a Super Nintendo last week because my brother has the Super Nintendo we had when we were growing up, and I don't know that he even has any games for it because I don't know where our games are, which is really sad. But I bought it because I just thought it was dumb that I would love to play it if I had one, but I didn't have one, so like, well, I can take care of that. So I went down to Pink Gorilla here in the U District and picked up Super Nintendo, and I got Final Fantasy 3 or 6 for.
Did you get the HDMI cable?
My Super Nintendo, no.
He got the Bluetooth controller, so he felt like not spending any more money.
I didn't use the RF switch. I actually have the AV cables for it. Where back in the day, I used the RF switch to hook up every system I had, my N64 is how I hooked that up. But I got Final Fantasy VI, and I've been playing through that. I actually got, for about, I think it was $50, Final Fantasy VI and the box, too, the original box, which is, it's kind of cheesy, but I think that's really cool that I got that. And then I went down after work on Friday, just the other day, and picked up from the other Pink Gorilla store in the International District a bunch of games that I really was just geeking out over. The first one's Aerobiz, which is a game. Did you? So have you actually played this, Casey? I have yet to meet anyone besides my brother who has played it.
I've never played it. I think I've heard of it, though.
It's where you run an airline and you
have to, an aero biz,
if you will.
Yeah, and you set up the connecting flights, what sort of planes will be on there. You buy the planes.
You know, isn't that supposed to be, like, one of the most top stressful jobs? Why would you want to do that?
I think you're thinking of air traffic controller.
Oh, yeah, I am thinking of that.
No, they don't
get to buy airline businesses. It's, like, the top business that goes out of business. Yeah. It's, like, the number one business that declares insolvency all the time.
Is that what the game is about, declaring insolvency?
That would make sense because I lost every time. And it really, the reason I'm buying it is because I want to see if I can do better than when I was 14. I'm hoping I can. So that's the real reason I picked it up. I also got... you'll hear the crackling of the container. Secret of Mana.
I played a little bit of that.
Yeah, which is...
You can play with two players. That's awesome.
Yeah, you can play three players, actually, if you have the multi-tab. But the first time I ever played it was on an emulator with my brother and a friend of his. And we had one actual USB controller, and then we mapped out the keyboard on the left side and the numpad so that what his friend could play on the right side, then he could play on the left. And so the three of us were all like hunched over our small little computer in our bedroom one summer playing through all of Secret of Mana.
It sounds
great.
Like a sexy time.
Not really. It was kind of nerdy, sweaty, but it was still good. I got Super Metroid for $23, which is
That's expensive.
Well, who cares? It's Super Metroid.
Yeah, isn't it like half that on Virtual Console?
I honestly don't care. Having my own copy of it, I am so stoked. And a copy of Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, which I've never played.
Oh, that's a great game.
But that's exactly what I hear every time. It's a great game, so I'm looking forward to playing
it. No one played it, and like it didn't make very good money.
Really?
Not for some reason, yeah.
Probably because it was a game about babies. Like, that's tough to rope people in.
Wow, maybe we should... Liz, just out of curiosity, how long would it take to play through all of Yoshi's Island? Maybe we should do that for our game.
Not long at all. I think, like, if we wanted to do that over a period of
two weeks?
I would be love with playing that game. Like,
Let's throw it up on our poll. We're going to put up our game club poll here. And actually, here, let's break momentarily here for some transition music and get into Fangamer news. Thank you. Fangamer News, Game Club. Let's just, you know, continue on with that. We are finishing up our last week of Game Club for Majora's Mask. We'll be broadcasting Wednesday, 5:30 Pacific, 6:08, or whatever time that is Eastern. You should join us. It's a good time. Mm-hmm. We will be talking about the entire game because we have finished it at that point. And the ending, did you get all your masks? I am up to 6 bottles already, so I'm feeling pretty good. I only have 2 masks left to get.
6 bottles?
Yeah, I had the 6.
It's kind of a weak-ass game. They let you have 6 bottles.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? I actually filled up every one of those bottles with the fairy ones, and then I never even used them on that level, on the water temple. So, but yeah, Game Club, we'll be putting up a poll hopefully today or tomorrow, or Sunday. Well, it'll already be up by the time you listen to this, on what the next games will be. I think we're just going to use the list we had from the community last time to kind of pull community options and then throw in a couple of our own.
Yeah, we got some plans.
Yeah, we want to do something very different, so we don't want to do any more adventure games in the same sense of, you know, the Zelda kind of style. We're looking to do something as a palate cleanser, you know, between the big meals. We're going to do hopefully just a 2-week game, so something that we can get through a little bit faster.
Probably like a quicker platformer or puzzle type game.
I think right now,
like Double Dragon or Battletoads or something like that.
Battletoads?
Oh, or so Battletoads.
Not finishing the game, dude.
Battletoads versus Double Dragon. Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That was
such
a great game. That was a good time.
Dude.
So, yeah, Game Club, it's going pretty well. We will look forward to having people join us and voting on the next one, which will start up, you know, next Wednesday. So, other things in Fangamer news.
Many shirts are coming out.
Yeah, we have a lot of stuff. Liz, do you want to talk about a couple of the shirts that are on their way?
I will. First, to give a preface to the shirt thing, thank you everyone for making the PK Fire sale like a crazy success.
I mean,
we had decent expectations for it, but you guys blew us away with your ability to give us a
spend
hand.
Spend your parents' money.
Yeah.
And buy our stuff, which is great.
There's nothing wrong with doing that.
Yeah, because there wouldn't be so many shirts coming down the pipe if it wasn't for the ability for you guys to buy the other stuff.
That's true. Absolutely.
We literally needed those funds. So, but what's coming up very soon for them, Liz?
Well, let's think about this. We have the Special Forces shirt, which is like the Foxhound style graphic, which we've been kind of talking amongst ourselves and saying if we ever get called out on copyright things, we'll just say it's a corgi with an eye patch.
It looks just like my dog, actually. Like, wouldn't be hard to Photoshop that over.
Yeah.
So it'll be fine.
So we have the Special Forces. I believe that's in 2 colors, like a blackish gray and then an olive-y, olive.
Green.
Yeah. Olive is olive. I don't need to go further into that.
Yeah. No, but that did arrive and it's almost all fully packed and like ready to go. It's not in the store yet, but maybe by the time you listen to this, it will be.
Possibly. We also have the Pipe Vault shirt designed by the illustrious, illuminous John Kay, which is a kind of a one color on one color design of just kind of a series of pipes in the Mario style, occasional piranha plants, a couple little one-up.
Tapestry weaving in and out of each other.
Yeah, what he said. It's a cool design. We've got, we decided on green and black for the colors. And
the black is
like a, it's either a 50-50 or a tricolor blend where there's like different color threads that from far away make it look totally black, but you get up close. It's very cool. It's a total Monet. You'll love it.
Basically. Monet. And that's actually going to be working with the Speed Gamers again for their Mario Marathon, which if we had prepared more, I would tell you when that's happening. But I'm sure you all know when it's happening. It's somewhat soon. So Mario Marathon, we're partnering Speed Gamers on the Pipe Vault shirt. It'll be great. You should get it.
We have the Magi's Tower shirt is coming up a little bit later. We're not sure when that's going to be coming out. We talked about that before for fans.
Now that we have cash to actually buy it with, sooner than we ever thought possible. So yeah,
Faux Frenzy is also going to come out pretty soon. Yeah. That's the Earthbound shirt where I don't remember. Orange is definitely a color we're going with, or it's got all the Earthbound enemies and.
Not Weezer Blue, that's
not
for
Weezer
sure.
Blue. It must have been the mint that we decided on.
Yeah, I think that's right.
So it'll be orange and mint for those, which is a pretty good sample. People were kind of up in the air on how they felt about the bright colors.
Yeah, I'm interested to see how it sells because people will complain about bright colors, yet it'll sell really, really well. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think it's the people who have a lot to say about the different things who aren't the ones who like bright colors, and the people who do like bright colors just buy stuff and don't talk about it.
Yeah, they don't like our forum because people who talk too much about how they don't like your stuff.
Basically. But I digress. We have a plush coming down the pipeline from Ice 5, which we have been calling the Nuisance. It's a little homage to the new from Chrono Trigger. I actually have one. I'm looking at it right now. It's on my desk. I have named mine Noodle. And he's
is it beautiful?
It Noodleful?
Is it beautiful?
I thought you said nudiful. I was going to thank you for your creativity. It is beautiful.
Is it neutered?
Oh.
I'll check.
Wah, wah.
Yes. It has a tag coming out of its butt.
Yes.
Oh, I love the pause. Like you're lifting it up. What's going on?
Well,
under
I checked
there?
The little tag. It's got like I can't believe we have tags in our plushies. That's so cool. It says Fangamer and has the logo and our URL. And on the other side, Metroid hat for which is the Eyes 5 kind of website and brand. Oh,
yeah.
So I'm holding him up. He is adorable.
Yeah.
I love you, Noodle.
We have all that stuff on the way, so it should be a very exciting summer.
Mm-hmm.
Office Cam was yesterday, and it was, went through the normal Q&A, but Camille actually made a Tonberry, which is one of the Final Fantasy classic bad guys.
One of my favorites.
And she made a decapitated Moogle on
Whoa.
A stick. And Tom Berry was holding that, which is pretty dark for Camille. But I think
yeah,
she's just
seriously.
I think she did it because we all told her to. So it's not.
She must be going through her heroin phase.
Obviously, except for not.
Yeah.
Sorry, Camille.
And, yeah, sorry about that.
And she made one of the Mario Whomps to add to the Katamari ball, which is pretty cool. So tune into Office Cam on Fridays at 5:30 Pacific on Ustream. So check us out there. That'll be next week, but. Let's pause here and we'll move on to the show topic.
Thank you.
Earthbound, why we like it. Go.
All right, ways you can contact us.
Oh, Earthbound, what can we say about you that we haven't said already?
I will. I'll take the easy way out and say the thing everybody says, which the way they approached getting into and getting out of combat was extremely innovative. Where you could see enemies on the screen, you could approach them from behind or the front, or just like hit them neutrally. And the fact that if you didn't attack them, or if you were over leveled, you wouldn't have to fight them. I don't think a game has done that as well since. Often imitated, never duplicated.
Because even Chrono Trigger kind of does it, right? You can kind of avoid your enemies a little bit.
Like 50-50. Half of them are... But that's true of Earthbound. Some of them are forced combat. But like, they don't respawn in different locations as you clip
them. Yeah, it's always the same.
They're mapped out.
For me, just off the bat, like, I think about the things that attracted me to it when I was a kid. The ginormous box. Like, that was like, why is there such a big box? And at that time, it was usually because they bundled, like... Remember the box for Mario?
Yeah, it had...
Like, the Mario Paint came with a mouse and a mouse pad, right?
That's so a great game.
I assumed, wow, Earthbound must come with, like, a multi-tap or something.
And a Wacom tablet.
And it was just the strategy guide. So I think that's what I looked at and thought, wow, that looks really cool. Then I flipped the box over and I saw the images. And I don't know why I thought that I was above fantasy at the time as a kid. I'm like, oh, man, that castles and knights, that's lame. And then I look at the back of this and think, wow, this is like a kid like me. And like
he's on the streets like me.
Yeah. Oh, and there's this dog.
He's hard.
And they go and they him and his buddies are just like doing cool stuff, fighting this weird geek ass guy. What's
eating
that?
Pizza.
Yeah, I love pizza. So it was the setting though, the modern setting, an RPG in a modern setting, I'm gonna say I can't think of like are there any other like in a modern setting RPGs? And I'm not talking like sci-fi modern. I mean we have plenty of that. I'm saying like a game that happens around, you know, what you could say is our current time. I don't think so, right?
I played a game when I was a kid called Mixed Up Fairy Tales that partially took place in real time until they talked to the dragon. But other than that, no, I don't think there are any.
Okay, well, that's I think we got it covered then. Probably. So for me, that modern aesthetic where instead of saving, you went and called your dad on the phone. Instead of rupees or...
Gil?
Yeah, you have money. A ridiculous sum of
money. Dollar bill, y'all.
Ridiculous sums of money with weird inflation, but that.
Sometimes it's not so inflated, though. I always thought, like, when I got to Summers and I would go to buy the diamond bangles, I'd think, these are so freaking expensive. And then I became a jeweler and I thought, you know what? The Earthbound prices are pretty par for the course.
All right.
The teddy bears are outrageous.
Yeah.
It's way too much.
Yeah.
Isn't a pizza like $80?
Yes. That's the other thing. It's like, but that your items and stuff, I thought that was, even at a young age, that was really cool and clever that, you know, your power-ups were like a cookie and bread and
rock,
you know,
candy.
And you'd add ketchup to your hamburgers and that would give you bonuses. And those little things I thought were just so clever and all those little details I think is what really made me enjoy it a lot. But I've blathered on for a little bit here. Casey.
I love the culture, like the pop culture that's in the game. I've never played any other game that you know, touches on so many cornerstones of, you know, modern society. Or not cornerstones, but just kind of weird little things that are out there. Like, you know, the Loch Ness Monster.
Oh, yeah.
Stonehenge.
Or all
and
the Beatles
there's
stuff.
Riffs by the Beatles, and there's riffs by the Who in it. And they talk about Yellow Brick Road, and they talk about you know, Beatles songs, and all that stuff is very interesting to me. And there's all these like really, really funny characters in it. When I played it again recently, like as an adult, and I write for a newspaper, so I deal with a lot of politicians. And the thing that made me laugh when I played it recently was when you go through the first town, Wynette, and you see the mayor, and the mayor has like some, basically says that, you know, do what you want, but don't blame me for it because, you know, I'm
running for election, right? Re-election, yeah.
And that made me laugh. You know, I didn't realize that when I was a kid, but
yeah,
it made me laugh. And I mean, I think it's the first one of the first games, one of the only games I can think of that has an NPC that's gay. That's, you know, kind of they don't really go out and say it, but yeah.
Oh yeah,
and I think that's really interesting. I don't know. I think it's one for the history vault.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
That's true.
I think there's a lot of games that have gotten kind of crappier. Like for instance, it was awesome at the time, and I guess it's still kind of awesome, Killer Instinct. But
yeah.
In the scheme of things, I don't think it's nearly as important or as interesting as Earthbound is.
Yeah, I mean, I was a big fan of Killer Instinct too, but I go back and it just doesn't age well. And I think we've talked about it on the podcast before that there's a the age well. It has a classic sense. It kind of follows it along, and
you do great music too.
That the art style of how simple it was is kind of in its favor, that it allows it to age better because it's just kind of its own niche feeling.
It's so true. Like with the Donkey Kong Country games, I love them. They're my favorite games. But you put them on a TV that's like 40 or 50 or how many ever inches with like a nice setup, those sprites blow up like garbage. But Earthbound sprites are so simple that like everything looks clean and colorful and like linear and nice. And I always like, it's such a little detail, but I always liked the perspective the buildings were at in the game, like where it wasn't like totally top down, like north, south, east, west. I liked how all the streets were on a diagonal. I thought that was cool, just like a little detail that it made it feel more alive, like more like a city where it had like a maze like quality to it.
Well, they really do a good job in terms of building up the levels that you end up playing, like the different cities, because you start off kind of in the back part of the city, and you're just, you know, your house, and you can go to some trees, and you come into a full kind of widespread out city, and there's lots to explore. You go down to Tucson, which finally has an actual like mall where there's tons of stuff to buy. I was so excited. And there's the bus and the bike, and it adds a bunch of things there.
Mm-hmm.
And
Mr. T, the crazy guy that jumps off a roof.
Yes. Evergrande.
An orange and apple kid. Like, and then, two inventors living in one town.
You move from there through Peaceful Rest Valley, which isn't that peaceful, and I hate those trees. And anytime we talk about Earthbound, I say how much I hate the trees that explode and kill your bears.
I think everybody kind of like does a double take at Peaceful Rest Valley because it's like, why did this get so hard?
Yeah, I'd say the balance is a bit off, especially because then you finally get your first second party member, and you have to level her from one, which is an interesting. Like, I can't think of other games. They don't do that in games anymore now, right? If you get a new character.
Final Fantasy Tactics when you got Cloud, and everyone hated that.
But I'm trying to think, like, most games, when you get a new character, they're at the same level as your other characters now, for the most part, outside of tactics games. And having to level each one of your characters was always an interesting. You could tell, like, game mechanic wise, it was tough for them to figure out, like, well, we got to put in some enemies in here that aren't going to instantly kill them, but how do you keep going?
I don't understand why they didn't do what they did with Jeff and Pooh, where you had their own zones for them, for lack of a better word. And
like, they had their own starting zones, like, from WoW.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, they had their little Gnomeregan.
Yeah, that's
I don't know why they didn't give you control of Paula. Like, would it have been so bad to have her let herself out of jail? I mean, she could have lit the bars on fire.
Don't talk ill about it. This is why we like it, Liz.
I do like it. I want to see Paula show some more girl power, you know?
Yeah. Well, and then,
like the Spice Girls.
Yeah. I want her to be like Sporty Spice.
But overall, that it builds you up to these bigger and bigger cities, and everyone, you get to Foreside, you're like, wow, this place is huge, and there's big buildings that have multiple levels. And I, as a kid, there's just such a sense of exploration. Like, there was just always somewhere to go and look, and you were always rewarded for it. Like, you'd go talk to someone, and there was always, like, something funny. At the very least, it was, hey, that guy was kind of funny or interesting, or, like, a little tip for goading to do something else. Or
finding the development room for Earthbound 2.
Oh, man, I can't tell you how much excitement that gave to me in the game. Like, oh, wow, they're definitely making another one of these? Oh, man, I was so excited as a kid. And I think in, like, junior high, you have that. Everyone has this report you have to do where you have to write a letter to some organization as, like, and mine was to Nintendo.
Dear Nintendo.
Yeah, I was like, Earthbound 2, when's that coming out? P.S. Can you get Frank's weapon? Because it sounds like it'd be pretty cool. I remember, and I wrote them that because the kid on the top of the arcade says, Frank's weapon is really powerful. If you could get your hands on that, blah, blah, blah. And I tried so hard. Like, there's got to be a way to get his knife. That thing is so cool.
Wouldn't that have been a reference to, like, the Frankenstein Mark II or whatever?
I thought it was more referencing that his knife was just really strong.
His knife was pretty strong.
So you should be careful. I think that's what they were trying to say. But to me as a kid,
Frank's
meant,
gonna touch you.
Yeah. To me as a kid, it was, you should get that. That's one of the best weapons in the game, obviously. It's a knife. You should get it. So I wrote to Nintendo, and they wrote me back saying, nope, you can't really get Frank's weapon. Sorry. And I was sad. But it was really cool that they wrote me back.
I like how Frank is wearing this, like, ridiculous, like, Sopranos-esque, like, jumpsuit.
But the the shoulders are, like, crazy out there. Yeah. Very 80s.
Yeah, all the enemies, you ever think it was kind of funny that no one dies, so to speak? Everyone turns back to normal. Mm-hmm. That you beat them senseless for a while, and they're like, oh, hey, I'm cool.
Yeah, like when Everdred jumps off the roof and then, like, gets up and dusts himself off.
I sprained my ankle, but I'm basically okay.
Yeah. I liked that the game was, like, self-aware and broke the fourth wall a lot. Like, not only the big stuff, like asking you your name and having you type it in. Yeah, but
that was huge.
That was huge. But even, like, the little things where, the, like, you go knock on the door and want it, and the dude would be like, name the name of a famous Beatles song, blank today, and the answer would be yes or no, and yes would make it the song Yesterday, but no would make it, like, Notre Day, and the dude flips out at you, and he's like, how don't you know that?
Well, in terms of that kind of self-realization, at the very end, in the end sequence where it shows every photo that you took throughout the game from the photographer who drops down from the sky.
Are those actual photos? I always wondered.
Yeah, there are.
Remember how my characters were positioned or who was dead at the
time. Oh, yeah, because I had some where, like, you know, half my party's dead, and it's just me alive. What's the pickles? You know, those little touches, like, I'm sure there weren't the most complex things to accomplish in terms of game design, but in terms of the experience it provided to me as a kid, holy crap, that was amazing. Like, that it was said in the very end of the credits is, thank you, Garrett. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's me. And I was like, Mom, come here, look.
So you put your name in as Garrett, and it wasn't SSJ Trunks or anything?
No,
like,
I put it in
good name.
Well, the first time I didn't understand what they wanted, and so I think I put in some gibberish. But then they're smart enough to ask you again later, like, hey, this is what we have for your name. Are you sure that's what you want? And then I'm like, oh, I should probably, okay, I'll put what they want. And then I saw at the very end what it turns out to be. I was like, oh, that's so cool.
And you could tell the game was made with a lot of love.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's you could tell it's one man's vision, and he cared about making the game. Because when you play it, it's really warm. Like, from the first time you sit down to you finish, I feel good when I play it.
And then, again, back to that idea of the progression through the game, the different levels. So then you leave, the cityscape, and now you go into this sort of seasons escape of, you know, winters, summers. You go to the desert, the swamp, what's the lost underworld?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you're
the
going...
The dinosaur season.
You go back to Foreside, and it's Moonside, and that's pretty trippy. And Magicant, the whole you're in Ness's brain, I mean, that's...
And he's not wearing clothes sometimes.
No, I mean, just things like that, especially when they... And, like, Magicant itself is just such an interesting idea for a level, that it's in the character's head, and, like, you're interacting with his memories and people he's met, and that is a pretty trippy, surreal thing for a game, and... I've never really seen that kind of idea taken and borrowed ever since. But, again, I haven't played every game out there. I'm sure that, you know, Psychonauts, I think, is one of those games that does a lot with the psyche. But, you know, the scape of the game, what you're looking at in terms of landscape is just always changing, and it's always very interesting. Is one of those other things that made me really love Earthbound. The battle system we talked about in terms of the rolling hit meter, where if you could heal yourself, if you had enough hit points that, you know, before it rolled all the way down, you could still live. So you still had some time to decide if you had screwed something up. The auto fight was a good time. I think the only complaints I have around the battle system were the random, like, to getting items, like some of the best items, the whole one. And what is it, 128?
Yeah, it wasn't so bad for places you could farm, but for places like where it's end game or the monsters are just too difficult, like Paula's Frypan, it's like, what kid's going to do this?
Gutsy Bat? I have never gotten the Gutsy Bat.
I got the Gutsy Bat. It was pretty awesome.
Oh,
yeah.
I would pee my pants if that ever happened.
I did. And then I peed in my friend's mouth.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
It's a crazy afternoon.
He was just spinning in a circle while it was happening. It just splashed damage.
I was doing the 360.
God, you know what? I feel like this is as good a place as any to sum up why we like Earthbound. It's like,
yeah, I like Earthbound because I can pee in people's mouths when I play it.
No. Let's see. Yeah, if I had to sum up, gosh, I'd have to say I would want at least two things. I would say the overall attention to detail throughout the game. There's all these little tiny things that a lot of games sort of ignore or gloss over, or nowadays it's just everything's pretty to look at, but you can't really interact with any of it.
Mm-hmm.
That I like a lot. And the setting, the fact that it was in a modern setting really is one of those things that has still made it really fun for me to come back. And I'm hoping that, you know, when I have kids and they go to play it, that it won't be so foreign to them that, oh, wow, pizza, I know pizza and yo-yos and baseball bats and that sort of thing won't be that weird for them. But yeah. Who knows? Okay, Liz, Earthbound.
If I could sum up Earthbound, I would say that it is a game made by one man who had a fantastic imagination and was successful at letting other people, like, see his image while still taking from it what they felt. Like, you can enjoy his experience of telling you the story of Earthbound and seeing that world, but everybody can take something different from it and find something they like about it. And it's so... it speaks to, like, your childhood and, like, all the good times of being young that everybody finds something they love about it.
It's very honest. Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, it's very, you're kind of saying it's very honest.
Yeah.
And that it would take such a, I just think the person who does that, that has to be a pretty impressive leader as a person to be able to execute that sort of vision in game development, because it's so hard to, you know, you're supposed to be making money. But a lot of the things that you want to do won't necessarily make money. It'll just make the game better. And it's hard to negotiate those things with the people who hold all the money. So the fact that, you know, they're able to accomplish that at a time when games were supposed to be about, you know, more about money at the time, you know, it's...
yeah, they still impressive. Are.
They still are, but, yeah. You know, so at the beginning it's even tougher. But Casey, so, what do you got?
It's kind of on the lines of, you know, what you were hitting at, you know, a second ago. I think there's a lot of love put into the game. There's, like, a lot of compassion, and it feels very honest. And I laugh a lot when I play it. And and it's singular. It is a singular idea and, you know, well-executed concept.
Yeah. Humor is another good one you were saying there. I forgot. It's just, it is a really funny
game. It's hilarious. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Like, the characters all look kind of funny. They say funny things. There's funny sound effects. The plot's kind of funny. Funny things happen. Unexpected things happen, and I like that.
Yeah.
All right.
That's pretty good. All right, let's pause here, and we'll close out the show.
Thank you.
All right, let's close this show out. Thanks, Casey, for joining us last minute. As unfortunately, it always seems. One of these days, I promise, we'll contact you in advance.
Yeah, so we can plan it out. And, yeah, you know, I could bring my A game.
But even without your if this is your B game, you're doing fine, man. Mm-hmm. You're doing
thank you,
job.
Thank you,
Liz. That. As always, it's a pleasure to
it's
talk
my
about
B game, Garrett.
To talk about corgis for 45 minutes before we even start recording podcast.
I'll get to have a reader get back to me someday, Garrett.
So Liz, should we fire off our ways to contact, or do you want me to take these?
I got it. I'm looking at the list right here.
All right, do it, Liz. How can people participate in the show, contact us, etc.?
People can participate and contact us via Twitter, which is twitter.com/Facebook. Facebook, facebook.com, search for Fangamer. Office
twitter.com/Fangamer will get us to it, not twitter.com/Facebook. That'll probably get you Facebook.
Zuckerberg.
I read the lines are together. Whatever.
Slow it down there, Cap'n. We got 3 minutes.
Just Office Cam. Fridays at 7:30 Central at ustream.tv/channel.fangamer/fangamer.channel/ustream.tv.
Wow. We are just making it really hard for people to get a hold of us now. We're doing good here.
Office Cam's on Ustream. Search for Fangamer. You can search for us on Flickr under the name Readman, as usual, sadly. YouTube is also an anomaly, as our name is FangamerNet, not Fangamer, because we probably lost the password for Fangamer. Vimeo, search for username Fangamer, because we found the password for that one. Our store is fangamer.net. Our blog, thanks to Brian Jaworski, you are the brost, is at fangamer.com. We have the starmen.net forums, where every day I am actively going out of my way to ban people I dislike, so I'm making the forum a better place for all of you. If you have feedback, comments, questions, you can go email them to podcast@fangamer.com, or you can comment on the individual blog posts, as Butsukoi did, to let us know that we rambled.
I love Butsukoi.
Me too.
I love Butsukoi too. That's why we try to tighten this up.
Yeah, because he is, the first blog post comment on any of our podcasts, so.
Oh, yeah. Keep it.
Oh, also.
Charge!
Before we finish it out here, reviews on iTunes. I didn't realize why people always pimp those at the end of their podcast, because that's what makes you go up on the searchability and findability of your podcast in iTunes and on their big old top whatever list of podcasts. So if you'd like to leave us a review, we do appreciate it. And you know, feedback as always is great. But all right, thanks to everyone who came in on the show again. And next week, let's tell them what our topic for next week's going to be, because it's going to be good, Liz.
Is our topic things we've learned from video games?
It is. Things
absolutely nothing.
That's not true. I learned civic planning. I learned how to remove a ladder from a pool so that people have to swim to their own death.
How to manage an airline industry.
Exactly. Yeah. See, it's going to be a great cast. I've learned so much from video games. How to shoot a three-point shot in NBA Jam. All kinds of
how to shut up in Jam, I've learned.
How to punch Mike Tyson in the face.
So it'll be a great cast. Join us next week and comment on our forum thread about the show to participate. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Bye. I love you.